Asante sana, everyone.
I'm DJ Sun, that was a say.
Train has left you behind, and when you're all out of hope, down at the end of your rope, and nobody's there to throw you a line. If you ever get so low that you don't know which way to go, come on and take a walk in my shoes. Never worry about a thing, got the world on a string, 'cause I've got the cure for all of my blues. I take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay. I gotta sing and I dance when I glance in my pants, and the feeling's like a sunshiny day. Everything is going my way. Bow, bow, bow. My troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay. Yeah, I got great big amounts in the place where it counts, and the feeling's like a sunshiny day. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is Everything is going my way. If you're coming for me, you need nerves of steel. 'Cause I take corners on two wheels. It's a never-ending circus ride. Faint of heart may not apply. We beat a locum over and over. Destiny turns on.
Program contains language or images of a frank or sensitive nature, which may be considered objectionable by some. Listener discretion is advised. You've tuned in to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, dialogue, and music geared for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people and their friends. Here at After Hours, we may be diverse, but we have one thing in common. We are all out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of their closets. That means standing up for yourself, taking responsibility for your own life, and being proud of who you are. Realistically, we know not everyone can do that because of age, job, or frame of mind. That's okay. We're here for you too. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of After Hours. Hello, Houston.
Hello.
And College Station and the world. And, of course, Galveston. And welcome to the Saturday, February 7th edition of After Hours. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your producer for the evening. And I always want to like to mention in the beginning, I don't always get a chance to or remember to, but the pertinent information for After Hours, if you want to send us snail mail, that's After Hours in care of KPFT 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas 77006, or you can call us right now at 713-526-5738, or you can email us at afterhours@kpft.org. And let's see, some music that we played tonight. We started out with a straight group, we believe, we're not sure, but it was a great song anyway. It's called Da Vinci's Notebook. It's called Enormous Penis, which is, you know, when you've got all kinds of cares and troubles and woes, and Big Roy's finally come in. Hello, dear.
Hello, darling.
How you doing?
Fine.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm queer, like everyone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We knew that. Not a problem. Yes.
Oh, folks, our darling host has. He is reshaping his mustache and beard.
No, my barber did.
Oh, your barber did.
Yes.
It was rather becoming.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what is becoming, but it's becoming. That's an old joke.
She ain't right, folks. She ain't right. Anyway.
Has she ever been?
That's right. This is, let me finish with the music. And after that, we play Jeff Stryker. Yes. The Jeff Stryker, the adult film.
Poking your poopoo?
Yeah. No, not that one. Mi Vida Loca. It's the beginning of the show. I don't want to scare him off. Yeah. Also, I might remind everyone, if they don't know it already, and how could you not, because I know you don't listen to just After Hours, you listen to many of the fine shows here on KPFT, it is Membership Drive. We're in our second week. This is After Hours, last day of the Membership Drive. And for the first Membership Drive of the year, last Saturday, we reached our goal, and it would be absolutely wonderful if we reached our goal tonight too. It's very, very modest for a show that's been on this long, and a show that's this long. As a matter of fact, we're on from midnight till 4 a.m. Central Standard Time. But we need your calls of support, and that would be at 713-526-5738. We've got telephone operators sitting by out in
lobby.
Yeah, the Pledge Central. That's what it's called, Pledge Central. And we have lovely thank you gifts, depending on the size of your gift. For $35, a bumper sticker, and it goes on up to T-shirts and caps and mugs and
all kinds of goodies.
Oh, yeah. So if we can get all of that out of the way, we can just have a regular show and won't have to bother you again. So if everybody calls in right now, 713-526-5738, we take care of that, then we're good for the rest of the show.
And unlike other people, we don't threaten you by saying, if you don't send us your money, we'll send Liver Lips Louie to bust your kneecaps. No, we don't do that. We just promise you that if you don't send in the money, I'll start singing.
No, we'll send Big Roy to your house naked.
Ooh, now that's scary.
And singing.
Oh, my. Oh, well. Okay. let's go through some of the things that are going on in the community this week. The court report. I've got some stuff from the Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire. Let's see here. On Sunday the 15th is Montana Summers' Valentine Show. And that's hosted by her. And it's going to be at Mary's at 5 o'clock. And that's benefiting Rain 2.
And don't forget Louie. Louie Weekend is coming up. If you haven't sent in your $15, this Louie Weekend is the last weekend in February. And it goes from Thursday through Sunday for people who register, in-towners and out-of-towners alike. You get... I can't, like a dozen or 15 or 20 free cocktail parties. You never know what kind of cocktail is going to be served. It's different groups in the community that get together and host a cocktail party. So it may be a Bloody Mary. It may be some fruit juice with some strange stuff in it. Who knows? You know, but it's always fun.
Maybe a screwdriver.
And perhaps. And also a lots of food throughout the weekend provided by Houston area groups. It's just a wonderful weekend for those that didn't get enough Mardi Gras. So the ICOH is having a cocktail party for Louie at EJ's on Thursday the 26th, the opening night from 9:30 to 10:15. If you sign up, you will... Ooh, we got our first pledge of the evening. Thank you, Robert. Yes. And yes, Robert says we can thank him on the air. And it's not his first time. He's not a virgin, but you probably knew that anyway.
Sponsoring a full hour.
That's sponsoring a full hour. That's right. Robert is sponsoring a full hour.
And for those of you that don't know it, that's $140.
Yes.
We need as many of those full hours as we can get.
Sure do.
However,
sure do.
If we can't get a full hour, we'll take as many little parts of an hour to make a full one we can get anyhow.
That's right. That's right. Maybe a half hour. That still gets you a t-shirt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That or a bumper sticker, maybe.
And a bumper sticker. And a bumper sticker, not or. And, yeah.
And a letter of thanks.
And a letter of thanks, you bet, you bet. So we're on a good start here, but we need your call now. 713-526-5738. And continuing with ICOH, Space City Empire, on Sunday, February the 29th, there's going to be a show at Mary's called When Pigs Fly. So that is going to be very interesting, hosted by Lloyd Powell and Eartha Quake for the Lexi Bowen Fund. Oh, my, my, my. Then let's see what else is going on. Don't forget the PFLAG meeting. Wasn't that last week? No, that's this week. February meeting, second Sunday of the month, February the 8th, 2 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, Jones Building. That's on Main Street, and the church is on, oh, church is on Bins between Fannin and San Jacinto. That'll work. The tension between Christian justice and Christian unity will be explored by the very Reverend Joe D. Reynolds, Dean of Christ Church Cathedral. And small groups after the program provide an opportunity to discuss issues, concerns, and celebrations in a safe, confidential environment. And after the meeting, all are invited to gather at the Cafe Express in the Museum of Fine Arts, Beck Building. That sounds like a fun Sunday afternoon, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Red Party tickets are on sale. Yes, indeedy. For Saturday, this is Saturday, February the 14th. Gee, wonder why they call it the Red Party. Superstar circuit DJ Brett Henderson of Master Beat. Limited number of advance tickets are on sale at JR's Bar and Grill, South Beach, M2M Fashions, and M's Liquor. And, of course, that is at South Beach, the Red Party. After Hours is going to continue until at least 5 a.m. That's their After Hours, not this After Hours that you're listening to. Yes. And after that, we've got, oh, we've got something very important coming up here on February the 13th. That is a celebration and a demonstration for marriage equality. This is the second year that this has happened, and it's co-hosted by the Stonewall Law Association of Greater Houston, the Lesbian and Gay Rights Lobby, and the National Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, co-sponsored by the Marriage Equality Texas, PFLAG, Immigration Equality Houston, and RMCC. Participate in two huge events. Part one, a demonstration. That's at 2 o'clock on Saturday, February the 13th. I believe that's... Friday. Friday. Yeah, yes, Friday.
Saturday's the 14th.
That's right. Okay, part one, 2 p.m., a demonstration. Same-sex couples and supporters needed for a demonstration at the county clerk's office. Couples will demand marriage licenses while supporters and PFLAG moms and dads demonstrate outside for marriage equality. LGRL and GLAAD will offer a free media training workshop for interested couples on February the 8th, that's tomorrow, at 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the GLBT Community Center, 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. Media training required for participating couples because the demonstration will be media intense. Limited to 30 couples. Sign up today. Part two, a celebration. That's at 7 to 10 p.m. A spectacular same-sex wedding celebration at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church. Last year, 62 couples celebrated their love in front of 9 clergy members at various faiths and 400 guests. We expect this year to be even bigger. Couples, sign up today to participate. Limited to 100 couples. Certificates issued to participating couples. There's a suggested donation of $20 per couple to help cover costs. Guests and well-wishers are welcome. Reception at the church to follow. Please email marriageequality@slagh.org or call 713-227-1717. Yes, that's really, really nice. So, and we were talking about Let Us Entertain You Weekend, Louis. This year, the After Mardi Gras Party, February 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. And it's a $15 donation for in-town participants. Registration fees for out-of-town guests are nothing. If you're from out-of-town, it's free, but you do need to register. Mail donation and application to the Houston Council of Clubs, P.O. Box. Well, I don't need to tell you that because you're going to have to get this off of their website or stop by the Ripcord. The applications are right inside the door. You walk in, you turn left, and straight ahead where all of the voices and triangles are. They're right up there on the wall. And for more information, wcubed.louieweekend.com. L-U-E-Y. Let us entertain you. And like I said, oh, here's the schedule here. I was talking about the cocktail parties. 20. 20 cocktail parties. That means free booze, folks. There you go. A group that is forming and getting together is Men of All Colors Together, M-A-C-T. It's an interracial social group, and it's forming for gay men. Come and be a part of it. For more information, call 281-373-5175. And We have to mention the Transgender Unity Banquet, Houston Transgender Unity Banquet, which will be held at the Hilton Southwest Regency Ballroom, 6780 Southwest Freeway, on April the 24th. Now, I know it seems like it's a long way from here, but those tickets sell out early. So I got to get the information out now. Cocktails and reception at 6:30, dinner at 8. Guest speakers will be Jameson Green. He's a great guy. He's a prolific writer, speaker, and activist. And the longtime director of FTM International. That's female to male. Let's see. Information. For tickets, ticket contact, that's some email addresses for you. Sarah_Rook, R-O-O-K, at hotmail.com. And if you want some more information, give us a call at 713-526-5738, and we can give you that over the phone. Two more things. I know Gigi's waiting in the wings. I'm cutting into Gigi's time here. Our friend Tristan McAvery has a book signing coming up for his romantic intrigue novel, Lion Dance. It's going to be on Friday, February the 13th, 5:30 to 7:30 at Katie Budget Books. That's 2450 North Fry Road near Psalms. So you folks out there in West Houston and Katie, get in on that. The rest of you folks, leave early. That's all I can say. One more thing. Kate Clinton is coming to town. Yes, for a very special celebration of love and fundraiser. The Valentine Rainbow Fundraising Gala and dinner, dancing, and raffles. It's benefiting Lesbian Health Initiative. Saturday, February the 14th, 6:30 to 1, Hilton Hotel, Hobby Airport. Individual tickets are $60 per person. $60. But remember, folks, this is a fundraiser for Lesbian Health Initiative. These women bring free mammograms to women who can't afford them, plus free health checkups. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Call LHI for more information.
And don't worry when they say they need to do a pelvic.
That's right. Don't worry. 713-603-0023 or email LHI at LHIHouston.org. We've got some midnight movies that I'll tell you about later in the show, but it's past time to bring Gigi on. And of course, want to remind folks that this is Membership Drive. Give us a call, 713-526-5738.
Merlin called in.
Hi, Merlin called in. Where is he?
Called in. He's listening to us tonight. He's at home. He's not feeling well.
How was that surgery?
It went rather well.
You can get closer to a mic.
Okay. Honey. It went rather well. He's having some difficulty with swelling on that left side of his face right now. But we stopped by Wendy's and took lunch out to his house this afternoon.
He can eat?
Yeah.
Oh.
He can eat. He had a little difficulty with it, but, you know, he's working up to it. A nice, good, solid meal sometime soon, we hope.
Mm-hmm.
He said other than that, he's been eating an awful lot of soup.
I'll bet. Yeah. So our wishes go out. Good wishes go out to Merlin.
Get well soon.
A.K.A. Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Come back next week.
That's right. He's missing all these letters. We have so many tremendous letters this week from our MVBs.
Yeah.
And I think it had to do with Devin's interview last week. A lot of it did.
Yeah.
Hi, Gigi.
Hello.
How you doing, dear?
Oh, doing good.
What's up?
Well, tonight I wanted to talk about a subject on spiritual aspects of BDSM.
Okay.
And we need to make a phone call. So, need to go to music.
Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't even ready.
Oh, okay.
So, why don't you talk about the book review you're going to do?
And then later in the show, I'm going to do a book review on The Ties That Bind by Guy Baldwin.
What's that? Ties That Bind? Oh, that, I'll bet that kind of ties in with the BDSM thing.
Oh, yes.
how did I know this?
Oh, yes.
It's a little something sure we can all learn.
So we've got a really hot show coming up. Basically, we're going to be exploring some, you know, all the ins and outs of kind of flying in a whole different space and kind of getting into this magical, kind of spiritual essence of intense sensations.
Ooh. Okay.
And if you want to take a few minutes to find music.
No, I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready.
I'm ready, but we had a caller call in and wanted to know the phone number for Men of All Colors Together.
Oh, okay.
And I'll repeat that number. You got a pencil and paper out there? Big D? Okay. It's 281-373-5175. 281-373-5175. Okay. And so you're going to call Michelle right now?
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a piece of music dedicated to you, dear.
Aww.
It's by my friend Jeff Krasner. And this is off of his two albums ago, Strong for You.
All right.
I always wanted to hear this done by a male. And he was the one to do it. He's got the perfect voice, and it works really, really well. And Dusty Springfield originally did this song.
Oh, wow.
It's called Son of a Preacher Man. And you're listening to it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on good old Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And for you folks down there in Galveston, that would be 89.5 FM.
Son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. In the backyard we'd go walking, then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was.
What?
He was.
What?
Learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown, and the only one who could ever
yeah, Jeff Krasner, son of a preacher man. That song begged to have a male sing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. He's in love with the son of a preacher man. Okay, here we go. And we have got Michelle on the line. So if you will just hit that air button.
Okay.
And hello, then, Michelle? No, not yet. Okay. And then hit the green blinking light.
The green, oh, okay.
And it will turn red.
Ah.
And Michelle should be there.
Hello, Michelle?
And Michelle should be there. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Ah, there you are.
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
How are things out in sunny San Francisco?
No. Oh, I'm in Seattle, actually.
Oh, I know it's raining there. Wow.
Yep, it's actually raining. Yeah, it's not raining right now.
Oh, well, because I just picked up my lover from the airport today. He came in from Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Actually, he lives in Federal Way, but... Mm-hmm. But nobody cares about that. We care about talking to you, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing well, having a good time here.
Oh, yeah. You know we always do on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so good to have you back on the show. It's been ages.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show again. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, you have to call her more often and get her on, you know, just...
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
as a guest.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, tonight's show is special. It's on... BDSM, spiritual aspects, and before we go too deep into it, you know, I've been doing workshops for a lot of festivals and groups and on spiritual aspects of BDSM, and one of the things that kind of led me into this was that, you know, a lot of people look at BDSM as it's all about pain or it's all about... you know, all this stuff, how can it be spiritual? And, you know, and how can you get something good out of this? And one of the things that kind of, you know, I kind of came across long ago was, you know, in ancient Greece, they used to have theater. And basically, when people went to see tragedies, they weren't a passive audience. They would pull out their hair, they'd bang on the ground, they'd just rant and rave and just get into it in a very big way. And the Greeks had a word for it. It was called catharsis. And in modern day, we really don't have a good avenue for really good catharsis. But I think BDSM kind of serves that role, where we can kind of get into the... darker side of ourselves and explore it and express it and let it come out and just, it's kind of like venting all this stuff out. It can be a very powerful thing. So anyway, with that, I just kind of wanted to kick things off. Michelle, I know that you've been very involved. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences both as a top and as a bottom and what you get out of it?
Well, I mean, that's sort of something that I've been exploring a lot here in Seattle. Let me try and think about what the different experiences are. Well, as a bottom, start from there, definitely a sense of there is an aspect of catharsis, like of anything that, you know, causes, you know, the idea of like pain, which causes endorphins to rise, which can lead to altered states, similar to any other technique used to gain altered states, such as meditation or ritual or things like that. And by using, you know, the technique of BDSM through beatings or pain or other things like that, one can reach a lot of those same altered states that you can reach through other methods, and that can be really helpful in terms of getting stuff out that your rational day-to-day mind is preventing from coming out for whatever reason. And I definitely have had things get released, like just feelings of, you know, emotions being let out, stuff like that. And there's also the idea of pushing limits, you know, of like learning that your body can do things that you didn't think it could do. And, you know, you're like, and, you know, by taking some stretching yourself in some way, you know, you really can have this experience of this feeling of like, well, I, you know, have broken this limit about myself. So now what else can I do? You know, that kind of thing. It can translate into other aspects of your life. Talking about being a top, just sort of like for me, like the experience of being a top, taking some of that stuff that I think of as, you know, my dark side, like things about, like, you know, things that I would normally tend to rein in, like, you know, like desires, like to, you know, cause pain or other aspects of like that, and using it for some good purpose, using it for helping someone else break their limits, and you know, discovering new things about themselves, or having, or just pleasure, you know, just for the sheer pleasure of it. I mean, when you pain can release endorphins, you know, which can lead to a high similar to what you get from like morphine, for instance, and you know, have that that can be like a very pleasurable experience. You know, it's using your own body's natural responses to create states of pleasure that you couldn't get otherwise.
Pain. It's. I was wondering about that.
So, what happened to the connection?
Oh, he just changed the mic so I could hear through the headphones.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, when I get into this intense sensation, it's not really painful. I mean, you know, when I stub my toe, it hurts, and I don't like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get into a really intense scene and I'm connected with the person I'm playing with, and the chemistry starts working, it's like all of a sudden I start flying, and it's not about pain. So I kind of wanted to clarify that, because, you know, for a lot of people, and for some people it is about pain, but I know for me, you know, it varies from person to person.
Well, I think there's so many different kind of things that get lumped together as BDSM. You know, there's the idea of S&M, which is, you know, more, not necessarily about pain itself, but about, you know, the kind of rush of endorphins or the, you know, feeling of it. And then you have the B&D aspects of, you know, control and being restrained or whatever, and then you have, you know, the DNS aspects of like having someone being in charge and someone being, you know, serving them in some way.
Yeah, but even when I get into really hardcore, you know, whack-em, smack-em BDSM, it's like, rarely do I feel any pain, and I've even had people photograph me when I was in intense scenes, and it's like, you know, the look on my face when I see the photos, it's like, definitely not pain. It's like, I'm flying.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten to that flying space where it's like, someone was doing something to me, and I was like, you know, I can't believe it. When I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, you know, but like, it's like, oh, there's no pain at all. It's just like,
yeah,
floaty. And,
you know, I think there's some things that, you know, I'm not sure exactly what all's working, but I know there's a process you go through. It's, or at least for me, there is. It's like, you know, I get kind of into that headspace to begin with. You know, I take my shower and kind of get into the fetish clothing, and and then I, you know, enter the play area, and we get into warm up time. And warm-up is where you kind of go very light at first and kind of build up to it. And then all of a sudden, this transformation occurs. And it's like, and I've played with people before where it didn't occur. And it's like, okay, yellow, stop. It's not working for me. But when it's working, it's like, it's amazing some of the experiences that I've had. I can have out-of-body experiences. I've had experiences where I'm floating at the top of the room, looking down on myself, but also still seeing out of my own eyes. And it's hard to put into words all that happens, because it kind of gets into that that kind of non-material realm. But yeah, just I think one of the things that helps, you know, I think a lot of BDSM is spiritual, even though sometimes people don't realize it, just from the sense of the catharsis, and also the sense of it's a power exchange. When two people touch one another, whether it's by direct skin-to-skin contact or through a toy or through some other implement, there's a power that's transferred. When infants are born, if they don't receive human touch, they die. And whatever we exchange through touch, it's very powerful. When you eroticize it and put it into different contexts, then that can amplify whatever it is it exchanges when we touch.
Yeah, it's really helpful. I think for me, it was one of the things that was really helpful is experiencing, you know, power exchange in a sacred way. Because most of us, you know, experience power exchange in dominance and submission, you know, a lot of us, like, in our jobs or whatever, in a very non-sacred or way, you know, where you have, like, a boss who you know, tells you what to do and all this kind of stuff, you know. But, like, in a DNS, in a healthy DNS relationship, you know, it's very different, because you have the idea of, you know, the submissive giving up this power, but also the dominant in turn having all these duties, you know, having this responsibility to foster the submissive's best interests and to a good dominant anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and it can really, you know, just sort of being around that and that whole exchange makes me see how that you can have, like, a hierarchical or not, but an equal power exchange that can be sacred and fulfilling to both people.
Yeah.
You know, and because that's something I see a lot in, you know, sort of more progressive circles, is that people, because they're so turned off by the way power exchange is done in our society, tend to really emphasize everything has to be absolutely egalitarian, everything has to be absolutely equal in every way, and there can't be anyone who has authority. And, you know, but just in DNS, you can see some of the ways authority can be sacred rather than be this kind of, you know, non-consensual power over thing that it is in much of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah. And I want to kind of stop here for a moment. We'll pick back up, but one of the things I'd like to do is say that, you know, this whole idea of kind of BDSM or self-flagellation, if you do yourself or working with somebody else, it's not something new to spiritual concepts and spiritual pursuits. It goes through just about every religion has a sect or some small subgroup that gets into this kind of quest for enlightenment and transformation. You see it in Native American cultures when they do the sun dance. You see it in Christian religion when, you know, in Mexico they carry these big heavy crosses for, you know, over rough terrain and really suffer and go through this agonizing journey with this humongous cross, carrying it up a hill. And then even, you know, in the past with monks and certain saints that got into self-flagellation or into all different types of what we would today call BDSM activities to reach spiritual enlightenment. And it goes, you know, the list goes on and on. It's something that if you look through many different religions, you'll find somewhere that the BDSM type activities have been played out throughout history.
Well, I think anything that leads to, like, altered states can lead to, you know, spiritual development, and or either altered states or also the ordeal aspect. Like, you see a lot of times, you know, in religion, like, not thinking just so much about BDSM, but, like, people go on these, you know, very long, arduous pilgrimages.
Yeah.
As this, you know, act of, for one thing, getting themselves out of their day-to-day lives, and also just this kind of act of devotion, this act of will, like, yeah, I can do this, you know, I can be, you know, taking this challenge and stretching their limits, and that leads to growth and leads to spiritual development and connection with the divine.
Well, I'd like to ask, what are some of the components that, for you, that make up a really good, intense, spiritual kind of BDSM scene?
What are the components?
Well, like, what are some of the things that you find that kind of are common when you have a really good scene? Are there certain things that occur? Or, I mean, I know that for me, trust with the person I'm playing with is a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, when I've played with people who I've had a long relationship with, you know, that's a very sacred experience. You know, the first few people that I've played with have been people that I've had loving connections with, which makes it, you know, easier to get in that space of trust. But I mean, there's also the aspect of the unknown, you know, of jumping into, you know, because people, there's sort of the play that takes place between people who are intimate, you know, and lovers, and but also, like, people who have not known each other very well can play together as well, you know, and have the idea of surrendering yourself in trust to someone who is, like, a stranger. Maybe, you know, you just have, like, a feel for them or whatever. It can be, like, a real act of devotion and an act of, like, you know, giving your trust to someone who has this leap of faith. You know, that can be something special too.
Yeah. I would like to jump in because I think it's important to say to play safely. If you are playing with a new partner, negotiate the scene. What will happen, what won't happen. And it's good to play in a space where, especially if it's someone you don't know well, that you're not going to get into trouble.
Yeah, I think that's one of the mantras of BDSM, is this idea of safe, sane, and consensual. And the idea of negotiation is something that is very, you know, prevalent in the community, in the BDSM community. This, you know, that before you play, you know, with someone, you know, who you don't, especially someone you don't know very well, you know, you very explicitly and clearly negotiate, you know, what are the activities that will be allowed. I mean, it's a lot like, to me, like what happens in ritual, like in, you know, where in the ritual you create this container, like this sacred space, where that's kind of what the negotiation process is. It's like, we're going to create the limits and boundaries of the work we're going to do.
And I think also you set intent with negotiation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You set an intent as well. And, you know, is this something, are we going to do something like more psychological? Are we going to do something more spiritual? Are we just going to, like, do you just want to get, you know, hit? You know, I mean, because that's one of the things that tends to happen, you know, that I've seen is that people, like, some people, like, you know, maybe they're not at all into, like, submission or, you know, being psychological, and they just want to, like, beat on someone or be beaten, you know, and other people are much more into, like, the spiritual or into the psychological or into role-playing or into, you know, so there's a lot of different interests, you know, and it's important to, you know, negotiate what it is that, what you're going to do, like, what do you have in common, like, why do you want to play together, or what are the boundaries of your play so that you can both, so, you know, for safety purposes.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd kind of like to throw in is that there, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but there's many different forms of BDSM play. Even the initials, you know, bondage and discipline, or dominance and submission, or sadomasochism, are all kind of different aspects of BDSM. And each one's a little bit different, and even under each one, you have subtle differences. So you want to be real clear with who you're playing with on what's going to happen and what kind of things you want to get into. You know, when scenes, I've seen a few scenes go wrong, and a lot of times when they go wrong, it's because there hasn't been good, clear communications. But anyway, I kind of want to take a look at some of the things that, for me, have been really intense and share a little bit. I know that being a hermaphrodite and having doctors having performed certain surgeries on my body without my consent as an infant left a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And I think another aspect of BDSM for me is that not only is it a spiritual process, but it's also a spiritual healing process. I went through a very powerful ritual where I had a piercing done in my penis. And, you know, throughout the entire ritual, we set the intent, and basically I was symbolically replacing a hole that was taken away from me. And basically, when I got into the scene and we, you know, there's some warm-up, and I was kind of a little nervous at first. I heard a lot of stuff like, oh, this can really be painful, and this can, sometimes there's a lot of bleeding when you do a reverse Prince Albert piercing. And it's amazing some of the dynamics that can occur. I felt no pain throughout the whole process, but it was done in sacred space and with spiritual intent. And as the needle went through, she didn't just one shot through, it kind of went about a third of the way, then two thirds, and then she finally pushed it all the way out. The only time I felt even the slightest amount of pain was when the needle actually exited. And it was a curved needle, so just the tip exited out, and it was a slow piercing. It wasn't done very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I just started flying, and it just felt so incredibly empowering to kind of actualize this symbol and make it a part of me, a part of my body that had been mutilated. And it became very intense and very healing and deeply spiritual for me. When we get into something like that, you know, I took several weeks working with the person that did the actual ritual with me, did the actual piercing. And we went and we researched everything on, you know, on piercings and where to get the proper equipment and what precautions we need to take and how to keep everything antiseptically clean. So we did a lot of research long before we even got to the ritual stage, and it was like 2 weeks of, you know, I spent hours and hours researching this stuff. Well, actually, the both of us together. And then we set the stage, and when it happened, it was just an incredibly amazing experience. I think that's part of, for me, setting intent. It's like, and it can, the intent doesn't have to be something really major like that. It can be any number of things. I know that I had some problems growing up. You know, I was kind of the black sheep of my family. So I went through some healing rituals using BDSM in that regard too. So it can be, you know, very small things or very big things. Sometimes it's, for me, it's just a way of really getting in touch with the inner child, getting in touch with that part of me that doesn't want to be in control, that wants someone else to be in control for a while and to take me someplace. And all that, when I play a really good scene, all the good scenes I've played have always been well negotiated with the person I'm playing with.
But sometimes it's just damn fun.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it's not about serious spiritual purpose or healing or growth or, you know, sometimes it's just fun.
Oh, yes. And I do very light scenes sometimes. I mean, just for fun type stuff. In fact, I just got a violet wand, and I'm just so incredibly happy with it. It's, like, so cool. You know, and later in a little while, I'm going to be doing a book review on Ties That Bind by Guy Baldwin. And I think it's really an excellent book in the sense that it kind of shows some of the pitfalls to avoid in a BDSM relationship. Whether you're doing, and he touches on, you know, one-time scenes or playing with a partner where you're in a BDSM relationship only during the scene, or when you're doing a 24/7 BDSM relationship where you're always in scene, which can be really intense. It's not for everybody, but and I've never done a 24/7 thing, but I know people that have and have gotten a lot out of it. But you know, it takes really learning ahead of time what you're getting into and who you're getting into it with.
Yeah. I need to remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old Pacifica Station KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and 89.5 in Galveston. And also, evidently, I need to remind folks that this is membership drive. Yes, indeedy, folks, membership drive. We're looking for your pledge of support. That way, we can keep this station running and show management that this show deserves to be on the air. We've got several phone volunteers sitting by, ready to take your call.
Yes, they need something to do.
They do.
And I'd like to jump in and say, where else are you going to get a show like Spiritual Aspects of BDSM?
Nowhere. Straight or gay.
Yeah.
Nowhere. And, of course, all that you're talking about, Gigi, applies to the straight community as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Straight, gay, bi, trans.
And there's a much, 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 much bigger BDSM community in the straight side than there is on the gay side.
Yeah.
If only because of the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we're going to go to a music break.
We are, but I still want to get those phones ringing out there. I really, really want to get those phones ringing out there.
I mean, we don't do like how, if you listen to KPFT during the day, we don't sit and we don't pitch. We don't do that hard sell pitch.
No.
Because we know out there that you know the value of our show. You know the fact that we come to you, it's a rare thing. Three times a year, we come and we ask for money, and we know there's value in what we... Four times a year now. Oh, I thought it was
four times a year this year.
Okay. So, you know, we come to you, we ask you for some money, for support, because, you know, this is the programming you don't hear everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even more so with our show, when you talk about the other shows here on KBFT, they like to put the fact that every person who pays is actually paying for 16 other people.
Yes.
But think about it on this show. You're not just paying for 16 people who are just listening to the show at random. You're not paying for your, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just paying for the people sitting at home listening to it or coming back from the bars. You're also paying for our MBBs who are listening to us on the in their prison cells.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying for every one of those teenagers who are sitting in there with a pair of headphones listening to the show, because this is their only outlet to the community. There's more than 16 people you're helping to cover, and this is where the show is an important thing. When I went to the programmers meeting for this, and I was talking to people, and a lot of these people were in the other ones were either music shows or the public acts, the public affairs shows during the week, and most of them were actually the women's shows.
Oh.
And being out there and telling them about our show and what we do and what we strive for and the fact of who our listeners are and who we try and pitch to and who our audience is and the people who pay attention to us, they couldn't believe it. that, you know, we've got a large conservative Republican base.
Oh, yes.
That listens to our show. A lot of MBBs and a lot of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, this is what, this show is what the Pacifica Mission is about. We are diverse.
And on this one show.
On this show, we've got more diversity than you have on some days.
And for tonight, I'd like to have some bisexual and pagan support.
Yes. Because there's, you know, let's face it, there are at least twice as many bisexuals out there than gays. GLBTs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. And you know that's a conservative number.
And I'd also like to speak to people listening from out of state and even out of the country. Because mm-hmm. I know I put this out there for people to tune in on the web.
Yeah.
So just because you're far away, please come and support us.
We have had pleasures of support from out of state before, quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing of what the show does.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just touching people here in Houston.
No.
We're not just touching Galveston or Huntsville or Lovelady, where our, the MBBs listen to our show.
Mm-hmm. Or Rocheron.
Rocheron.
On and on and on.
We get the people in Kansas. If he's listening, hello, Chris, out in Louisiana, who's listening to the show.
On his computer.
He's on listening on the computer. In fact, I was chatting with him last week. While I was out sick,
mm-hmm.
and he was listening to the show, and because of the delay, the slight delay you have in the internet, it's like he's going, okay, there's got to be a delay or you're psychic. And I say, no, it's just some of the songs we play on this show, I can play, name that tune.
Uh-huh.
And I say, okay, I started to hear the speaking in German, I know it's Erasure.
Yes.
That's just the way it goes.
Give me A Man After Midnight. That's what I played last week, yes.
So, yes, I was listening.
Uh-huh. And we didn't bash you at all.
I know, and I'm pissed. Where was the love? There was no love. I was left alone. I felt so heartbroken. But the one request I did make, we did get a letter in saying that he did like the Jeff Stryker pop you in the pooper.
Yes,
actually, quite a bit of people are saying things about that one.
Yes, they are.
A lot of the My Devin's Brothers in White there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got
in prison.
A lot of letters are going through there. Some nice artwork, too.
Yes.
But, you know, we
fascinating
need
letters.
And what's the number they need to call?
713-526-5738. And we take credit card, all the major credit cards, and also EFT, Electronic Funds Transfer. We've got a guy in the lobby that just signed up for that tonight.
Yes.
And it's real easy. If you want to pledge $60, then they sign you up, and then it's just $5 out of your checking account each month. That's like service charge.
Yeah.
You know?
That's one cocktail.
Yeah. Is it ever?
That's one of those mocha, coffee, latte, whatever you want to call it there.
That's right.
At Star Truckers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can break it down that way. I mean,
I want everyone to know the women are here. The women have arrived. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
We're all in danger.
I mean, we're not. We can sit there. We can give you the Sally Struthers line, like, for 25 cents a day, you can help feed a radio station that will feed your mind. But we're not going
to feed other things.
We're
not going to go there. The fact is this. I mean, you know, you hear a lot lately of charities and 501c3s and all these organizations that are collecting money. And it goes all into overhead.
Yes.
Nowadays, mm-hmm. the latest things with the charities, they say, you know what? 30 cents of every dollar you send us actually goes to where we want it to go.
Duh.
We're a lot better than that. We've got what, 20 at most paid employees at the station?
No, 12.
12.
12.
We've got a dozen paid employees.
And over 200 volunteers.
Yeah. Yes. No one you hear on this show is professional.
Surprise. I know it's hard to tell.
I mean,
professional what, by the way?
Some of them can be considered professional different things.
I'm a professional faggot. Anyway, let's go to some music.
Do we have anything queued up or not?
1, 2, and 3, I believe, in that order. And that would be 713-526-5738. 713-JAM, KPFT.
We wish you'd jam the phones.
Yep.
Society 1903, Sigmund Freud's Vienna. type identifies a homotype, the intermediate sex and heterodoxy. The gay wave moves across the sea, hero there, Miss Liberty. Betty Boop is hot and mooches out in the cold. Greenwich Village, Bloomsbury, gays in high society. Harlem Night, Chicago fights, Leopold and Lowe. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. After hits the Broadway stage, the fleets and cat moves all the rage, and the well of loneliness appears on the stands. Red lights, crystal night, Adolf shows Olympic might. Put on your pink triangles and put up your hands. A-bomb, 50s keen, the Kinsey shake, the cocktail scene. James Dean, Mattachine, Doris Day and Harry P. Donald Whips, the Corey Wrights, Joe McCarthy picks a fight. J. Edgar Wright, oh, shame on you, what else do you plan to do? Christine Jorgensen's reborn, daughters of Belitis form, and we have our naked lunch in Giovanni's room. Marilyn, the picnic scene, Jackie's in her Cassini, Vatican II, and something's coming soon. Summer 1969, the heat is rising all the time, and over the rainbow, Judy Garland sleeps. Stonewall Bar, men in blue, heads were broken, bottles flew out of the bars and into the streets. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Boys in the band play Bette Midler, sang those bathhouse days. Lance Loud, gay and proud, Oscar Wilde bookstore, Sister George Doonesbury, Tales of the City, Anita Bryant, Village People, Studio 54, Harvey Milk, Rough Trade, Aaron Fricks, Prom Date, Grid, Torchum Trilogy, Boy George, NGMHC, HIV identified, Rock Hudson, Liberace died, Reagan finally says the word, Bowers versus Harvey's heard. Barney Frank, AIDS quilts, Act Up, Randy Schultz, Queer Nation, Maplethorpe, AZT, Amendment 2, Cracker Barrel, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, HX, Cyber Sex, March on DC, Greg Louganis, Selton, John George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, Rowdy Girl, Spend a Day at Disney World, Coonan and Scare, the McVeigh Case, Ian Allen, Will Embrace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets and follow the tide. Gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
How does it feel? What do you do when he's all alone?
my favorites. First, John Gilbert Levitt with Pride. Or John Gilbert Levitt. I can never remember. J.D. will let me know. And Boy George from his, I think it's his, not his last release, but the one before that. Same thing in reverse. That was a terrific, terrific CD. It just didn't sell, and I don't know why, because there are fabulous, fabulous songs on it. So, while we were speaking of J.D. Doyle, I want to put this in your ear before we go on, back on.
Tune in to Queer Music Heritage in February and March for a two-part special on bisexuality in music. This is J.D. Doyle answering the musical question, how bi do these songs get? We'll go from the 20s up to the present to explore this part of our music history. That's the fourth Mondays in February and March at 9 p.m. during the second hour of Queer Voices on KPFT. You won't want to miss Queer Music Heritage going both ways.
I like it both ways. I like it both ways. I like it both ways.
I like it both ways.
Gigi was just dancing up a storm that one. That's going to be fun for February and March.
And to the Bi World community,
no
tune
kidding.
In.
That's right. The fourth,
this is our heritage.
The fourth Monday of each month at 9 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. That will be the second hour of Queer Voices, which is heard every Monday night from 8 until 10. But J.D. does this. He does a fantastic job with Queer Music Heritage. He really researches. He locates people who haven't put a record out in 20 years and gets interviews from them.
Yeah.
You know, because from this stuff.
You know, I need to let Lonnie Kamanu know about this because she's been working on the Bi History book.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, she can spend hours with JD then because he said, you know, he had to really, really go through his stuff because, I mean, he's got enough for four good shows.
Oh, wow.
And he had to pare it down.
Yeah.
He's playing a tremendous quantity of songs. Some of them may not be heard in their entirety because he wants to get as many as he can in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were going crazy on that AC/DC, man. I happen to have that at home. That was cool. on vinyl. You know, that's how old that one is.
Yeah.
I like that, but I won't play it until after his shows are over. I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
So we'll be plugging that every month, every week, and putting word out on Binet about it, too.
And have the phones been ringing?
The phones have not been ringing, but we do have a generous pledge from Roy, and we can thank him on the air. And this is his first time donating. Which is very, very cool.
Cool.
Very, very cool. Yes, yes. And so we're getting there. We're about halfway to where we need to be. And it's only 120. I'm happy about that. But, you know, if the phones start ringing now, then, you know, we can get it in. And we won't have
we
to
like
argue.
We like getting it in.
We certainly do. And you can get it in at 713-526-5738. Talk to any of the folks out there. We have men and women, you know, depending on who you want to talk to. And so
maybe they could talk to Beth.
Maybe they can talk to both. That's right. Yeah. Yes, we have a bisexual out there too. So yes. Hey, at least one. There we go. Okay. Do we still have Michelle on the line?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you've been enjoying the interlude here.
Oh, yeah.
Good. good.
I forgot to tell you, it's fundraising week.
Oh, yeah, I remember fundraising week.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not that we hate to do it, but it's the penance that we pay.
Oh, yes.
To put on this show the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have no commercials, yeah, and that we can, you know, go on forever and ever on an interview with not having to stop every 5 minutes to put on a commercial, and then you lose your train of thought. You know,
well, we also don't have the industry saying what we can air and what we can't air.
Oh, honey, if we had commercials here, this show would never get on the air.
Yeah.
Because the sponsors, you know, say, oh, I'm not going to give money to your station if you're going to have that queer show on. Well.
Yeah.
We say.
And we don't want to talk about BDSM.
We say, screw you, and we're going to put it on, and I don't care what you say, so we'll just take money from the listeners and work it that way.
Yeah.
And have a very democratic type radio.
So if you love shows program like this, call us and pledge.
Yes, now.
Although meaning yes, to the words BDSM.
If you don't pledge, who knows what we'll do.
Yes.
Or maybe if you do pledge, who knows what we'll do.
That's right.
Yeah.
It can go either way.
Except that time one day.
All right.
And
looks like he's got one hanging down there, but
I tied one around.
In between the two.
I could hear your radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I fixed it.
We got a
photograph that was
sent in, and it's a male appendage with rope tied around it. And
very tightly.
Very tightly.
I don't know how he got it, but.
And I know. It's, and
I've tied mine up like, well, I've had mine tied up like
rope
that
around the scrotum also.
Yes, it's one of my brothers in white out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and keep sending them in.
Yes.
We love them.
Well, shall we get back to the
yes
spiritual aspects?
Oh, spiritual, oh, of course, yes.
Well, spiritual can be aesthetic.
Yes.
It can be ecstasy.
Oh.
I mean.
Yes, it can.
In fact, I think the deepest spirituality is a state of ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, I've heard of that before. Doesn't it come in like a liquid form?
No, not
oh
that one.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
The ecstasy that comes from within. And you hear people talking about religious ecstasy.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kind of the same kind of thing, just coming from a different space.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about spiritual ecstasy, then it shouldn't be that much of a jump to have to go there.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of touches on some of the scenes
mm-hmm
that one can get into to really get into a deeper spiritual trance. Because I think whenever you get into a really heavy BDSM scene, you're really kind of going into a type of trance. You get the, and it's healthy for you. Did you know I actually had a doctor prescribe BDSM to me for ADHD?
Really?
Hmm. Yes.
Wow.
That's something I definitely noticed, you know, being like myself, I have symptoms of like ADHD-ish, ADD symptoms as well. Like I tend to be really scatterbrained and stuff like that and really unfocused. And I noticed that when I got into like this submissive space, like suddenly it was just so easy to, I was just so focused on like my task. And I was like, you know, all these like a lot of things I have a lot of trouble doing, like, you know, like even things like doing the dishes and stuff like that, because it's such like a thing that requires like focus and I can't just run around and be scattered. And I got into that space and it was like, wow, you know, it was just really easy and it was really like different, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, and the way he explained it to me was that endorphins are really good for the ADHD brain.
Hmm.
And they get you really focused and, I mean, like hyper focused. It's like, and then afterwards that calm that hits, I mean, my mind's going all the time. And after a really intense scene where I've been really out there, and believe me, I've been in scenes where, you know, the kind of cool down period afterwards took a couple of hours.
Oh yeah.
Someone just holding me and rocking, no words at first, just kind of holding me and cuddling me and kind of bringing me gently back to the real world. And all of a sudden, there's this just kind of calm, and it's like all of a sudden my mind kind of gets to this space where, oh, wow. It's hard to put into words. But what other things have you gotten from BDSM, Michelle?
Well, just talking about that whole sense of focus, and it's been something that I've been able to carry into my day-to-day life. Like, I talked about the example of, like, getting into this different kind of state, like, in terms of being able to do things that, like, you know, like, doing things, like, I tend to be really disorganized just because my brain is so scattered all the time, and learning, like, from that state of focus that I got into by being submissive, I've been able to access that in my day-to-day life, like when I need to be more focused and to just know what that mental state is and to will myself to be into that state. And that's been like a really valuable thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten out of it like the stretching of limits, and also the from the toppish side, just the feeling of one thing, just like being a priestess and really like leading someone through a sacred journey. Is a very powerful feeling, and that feeling of being the center of someone's universe is like a really intense thing, you know, like being like that's one place where I really experienced divinity and really experienced the goddess, like being this channel for the goddess and being like, you know, having someone worshiping the goddess through me, you know, is just really extraordinary.
Yeah. I want to ask Jim a question real quick, and then we'll get back on your line of thought, Michelle. I know your partner gets into BDSM.
Yes.
And
not Stan.
No.
Jim. Specialize which one.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed a change after he's had a good scene the next day or two?
Oh, yes. He is, well, he's normally laid back, but he's really laid back, and he kind of stares off into space a lot. And he talks about the experience and how great it was, and how afterwards his girlfriend, you know, has him and is holding him and saying stuff to him. And he says, and I have no idea what she said because I was so far out there. You know, those endorphins had really kicked in. And,
oh, yeah.
You
oh, yeah.
know, and I was just out there, just and in la-la land.
On the endorphins, one thing I learned is that endorphins and adrenaline are mutually exclusive in the body to
that
some extent.
I did not know.
And high amounts of adrenaline are not healthy.
Right.
For long periods.
No.
But when you get the endorphins really pumping, it does kind of get you into this calm, relaxed state.
And
it helps cut down a lot of the stress. I've seen it, I know in myself, it's helped cut down on stress-related symptoms.
Okay.
Like when I was under a lot of stress at work, when I used to be in social work, and I'd go and have a really good scene, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, no more stress. I can function. But I wanted to kind of touch...
Wait a minute.
Oh,
because
sure.
I was going to chirp in there with them. People may... most people may not understand the endorphin thing. They may do activities like running or stuff that give them some endorphins. But when you get into a BDS... M scene, it's a much higher...
amplified.
Yes, much amplified.
I mean...
So, on that note...
Talk about runner's high times 100.
Yeah, times 100, exactly. We need to take a little interruption here because...
Oh, okay.
Dean
oh,
Becker
it
has
time?
Dean, it's 1:30.
Dean Becker time.
Dean Becker has called in, and... Ooh, I don't know how we're going to do this exactly, but...
He's jumped up
do we put...
He's online, too.
He's green.
Oh, okay.
Dean?
Well, we need to put Michelle on hold, right?
No. She can stay there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hold on. Let's see what we can do here.
Let's see if we can do this. Air.
Oh, we lost Michelle.
Okay.
Dean, you there?
Well, we'll call her back in a minute.
Okay, Dean.
creating problems, am I?
We're gonna call Michelle back.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we get for trying to do a three-way and not being prepared.
some good news. I know you haven't seen in the corporate media. On Tuesday, the Dutch government announced that smugglers caught with less than 3 kilos, and that's 6.6 pounds, will no longer be arrested.
Wow.
Okay? They say locking up thousands of smugglers doesn't solve the problem. There will always be more of them.
Of course.
Neither does normal drug users.
Right. they claim this policy, the British are claiming this policy could result in a flood of cocaine to Britain. But they're saying that the Dutch should stop the cocaine at its border to protect Britain. So, you know, I mean, it's just
okay,
absurd.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. here's another bit of absurdity. This comes out of Dallas. And it turns out that the sheetrock prosecutions up there, where they actually arrested people for pool chalk, called it methamphetamine or cocaine or whatever the drug du jour was, posed for pictures with it for the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. Months later, they determined that, oh, this isn't cocaine at all. It's pool chalk. And they let the people go. But it turns out, as the prosecution presented its case, they were well aware of the fact that this was bull chalk.
No.
And they continued to prosecute these people and to get them to take, sentences the less than 20 years if they just cooperate.
That's kind of the way it goes.
The drug war.
Yeah,
they don't care.
Okay, here's one. This is the first time it's happened in Texas. There's a lady up in Potter County, and she's been arrested for passing drugs to her unborn baby. And the child was born fairly normal, but they were able to detect cocaine within its system because she had admitted to being a user.
Boy, that's really going around the end zone there.
Yeah,
It is, and, the fetal alcohol syndrome is the real terrible.
Yes, that's the one that maims.
Destroyer, yes, it is. And yet, you know, this has been totally proven as fabrication. But again, they can do this because of drugs. More good news. Out of San Francisco, the hemp industry, they represent over 200 companies at this time, won their 2.5-year lawsuit against the DEA. And this is a decision that permanently blocks the DEA from preventing, I don't know how to double negative there, but the DEA can no longer prevent hemp products from being used in America. So that decision has come down, I think that was on Thursday. And the list goes on, but you know, the war of terror, I think, is showing that it is the war on drugs. I mean, the very mechanisms, the lies, the hatred, the chemical weapons that can destroy our nation, it's all being shown as a fraud, and it's run by the very same people. Whether it's Bush or Clinton or Bush again, they all represent the pharmaceutical, the alcohol, tobacco, and other corporate interests that must have these drugs illegal. That's where they launder hundreds of billions of dollars through the banks here. It is not the drug lords in Colombia. It is not the street corner vendors. It's not the gangs. It is the bankers who make the majority of the profit from this.
That's
drug war.
No surprise. Yeah. I mean, whenever there's something wrong with the system, always check the economics. Follow the money trail.
It is said that to launder the money, oftentimes they take 80%.
Yep.
And, with that note, I again apologize for interrupting your discussion.
Your time is 1:30.
All right. Very good. I do appreciate it. Of course, this Tuesday I'll be pitching. I'll be sending a show to my network, those crazy Canadians. But for here, I'm going to have a lot of quotes about Bush, and I'm just looking at the drug war, the war of terror a lot, because it is one and the same.
Sure.
The parallels will become more obvious as time goes by. I keep trying to tell people. And if I may, tout my horn a bit. If y'all look in the this edition of the Free Press, I think it's page 36, my second column has come out.
Hey.
And in it, I admit, all right, I'm a terrorist. At least that's what the government would have you think.
Oh, they certainly would. Yeah. They want... They want your ass. Yeah, you're making too much. You're starting to make too much noise. That's the whole thing. And I worry about that sometimes. But it takes people to stand up and say, "Wait a minute, this is ridiculous." And that's exactly what you're doing, Dean.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, I think, quite embarrassed at this time that there is no one within government that can go toe to toe with me.
No, absolutely not, because they know they have no foundation for their war on drugs.
I'm trying to educate a couple of them. I'm not going to name names. I'm trying to make friends. But somebody's going to step up and, hell, get their face chiseled on Mount Rushmore when they end this crazy war.
I think you're right.
Most of them use the drugs themselves and then go,
yeah,
drugs are bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So true. We'll do it. They say cops have the best drug.
Mm. Yep.
I like how he slipped that in. Okay, Dean, thanks so much.
Well, thank you all so much. Hey, remember George Bush doll. If you pledge that, $60, I think it is, you get a George Bush dressed in his flight suit. You get a 3-starter pin, an incantation from Marie Laveau, and my best wishes. but anyway, I appreciate
that's cultural baggage. Tuesday nights at 6:30. Mm-hmm. Will you be going on at 6:30 or a little bit later or what?
Well, I think maybe 6:15.
6:15.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little extra, I hope.
Extra, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And call that number 713-526-5738.